Welcome. You're about to embark on a journey of sound. A sound you can relate to, yet not one often highlighted in a state that boasts of 10,000 lakes and the call of a lonely loon floating across the still waters on a warm summer evening. The sound you'll hear today is the music that penetrates your very soul, the blues. I'm Mr. Jack, and I'll be your host and tour guide as we cruise the Minnesota blues world and the artists who share the healing power of this musical genre. You're listening to Cruising the Minnesota Blues with Mr. Jack. Welcome aboard. Let's get this cruise underway.
When there's trouble up ahead, they let you take a turn when you should stay on the road instead. Look down this road for you, may have turn. You're on a nice highway now, but a mile down in my turn to jack.
That was Look Down by the Lamont Cranston Band off their album featuring the infamous blues man from Minnesota, Pat Hayes. The Lamont Cranston Band has been a name in the blues since the mid-60s and is still spreading the blues today as well. I had the privilege of talking with the band founder and leader, Pat Hayes. Let's go into that conversation. Today I'm talking with the founder of the Lamont Cranston Band, Mr. Pat Hayes. Hey, thanks, Pat, for spending some time with me and my listening audience today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I don't know if, you know, a lot of the blues people know of your history and so forth, but, and so I don't know if they really realize the wide spectrum of the history that the Lamont Cranston Band has had and what an amazing large part it's played in keeping the blues alive. I mean, you've released, I think, like 18 albums over the years, and I don't even know if you can count the amount of performances you've done. So could you please share a little information about how you got started, and when did you realize that the blues was the musical genre for you?
Well, I think I realized it when I first heard it, when I was just a kid, like 8, 9 years old. I heard it on the radio. Oh. Then there's something about it that I really liked. I don't know what it was, but I think some people have a in their blood, you know, they just hear it and they go, oh, I really like this. Some other people hear it and it doesn't do anything for them, but yeah. I think it's something in your personality that you like it, you know. When I first heard that music, I went, whoa, that's cool. So I knew right then that was the music for me.
Who's some of the, what did you hear? Who did you hear? Can you remember?
I mean, Fats Domino.
Okay.
Little Richard, who I consider Little Richard a blues singer, but heavily amped up.
Okay.
I heard Fats Domino do things that were blues. I heard Mojo Hand by Lightnin' Hopkins on the radio. That was kind of a top 40 hit.
Wow.
And I heard, of course, Johnny Rivers was doing Seven Son and some blues tunes. And then, of course, the Stones came along in the mid-60s with Little Red Rooster.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started putting two and two together and figuring out, well, this is music that's from America, you know. And
wow.
We got it right under our nose, but we never heard it, you know. So sometimes I'd listen to the black radio, and you'd hear a blues tune every now and then, you know, on the black radio station.
Okay.
But then when I figured out it was people here in America, I started going down to specialty record stores downtown and picking up on all the guys, you know, Muddy and BB and all them, Kimo Walker and all them. So when I first heard it, though, was on the radio, and I'm probably 9 or 10 years old. And then you know, when I figured out that it was music right here, I started digging through the record stores,
Okay. Coming
up with all these records.
So when did you decide to pick up an instrument?
Well, I was a singer first. I used to always like to sing. I'm from a country, you know, I lived in the country, and when I'd ride on the tractor, I'd sing all the Beatles songs. And I would sing when I was driving the tractor. And then my brother started a band, and I started to sing with him. And then it was like, well, a singer should have a harmonica in his hand every now and then to make a little more noise.
Okay.
I said, okay, so I got me a harp. You know, we're doing the Dylan stuff and the Stones stuff with the harp and the Yardbirds. But I never dawned on me to run it through an amplifier. But when I heard Paul Butterfield, I was blown away by that tone, and I said, Larry, what is that? I didn't know what it was. I thought it was some kind of a trumpet or something.
Wow.
He said, that's a harmonica through an amp.
Wow.
So I said, I got to get an amp. I got to get that sound down. And that's kind of what started me on the harp.
Okay. Wow. It's interesting because when little Walter actually started amplifying the harp out of Chicago there, people did the same reaction. What is that he's playing? What's that instrument? They didn't,
right.
You know, so that's kind of
interesting. I didn't know what it was. Well, you know, I heard Dylan, of course, and I heard John Lennon, but I never heard it single note riffing like a horn through a distorted amp. That gave it this sound. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was some kind of trumpet.
Yeah, that's great.
But I loved it. I went wild. I said, that I got to do that.
And so when did you pick up guitar?
Oh, probably a little bit after that or around the same time. I was monkeying with the guitar. I didn't really know. I never learned the traditional way that you're supposed to, you know, I started just picking notes out, figuring out which ones sounded good together. So I never really learned the traditional way, you know, like my brother did, Larry did, and he got really good at it. It took me a long time to get any good at it. But we went up in the mountains. We went up to play in Colorado, and I lost my breath on, like, the third song on the harp. So I said, give me that guitar.
Oh, yeah.
I started playing guitar because I lost my breath from the harp. We went straight up in the mountains, and I wasn't ready for that.
I never thought of something like that. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, give me the guitar. Everybody said, oh, no, he's getting the guitar.
That was the first
time I played it on stage. Really.
Do you remember what your first guitar was?
Harmony Stratotone.
Oh, super. That's
great. It was Larry's first guitar. We got it at the pawn shop downtown for $20. And then Larry got a better guitar. I bought it from Larry for $20.
Oh, that's
Harmony
super.
Stratotone.
Yeah, those now go for like $400 or $500, you know.
Good one, $800.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. You know, and they've got a great sound for blues, too.
catfish looking up at him. Came out of the water and he crawled up on the sand. Started talking to me just like he was a man. I'm gonna wake up and you're gonna be gone. He said no, 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 and started tugging on my arm. Now I'm surely gonna die, and all of you people might be the next in line. Well, I said, Mr. Catfish, you can count on me. I'll take you to the ocean and I'll set you free. I'll put you in the water where you can swim way down to the cool Catfish Town.
Listening to some material from the long and running band out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, the Lamont Cranston Band. And we're also talking with the founding member, Pat Hayes. We just heard Talking Catfish with another mainstay in the blues world, whom also hails from Minnesota, keyboardist Bruce McCabe. Let's hear another song from this Minnesota-based band entitled Big Money, off their album Lamont Cranston with Bruce McCabe. On Cruising the Minnesota Blues today with Mr. Jack.
ladies and gentlemen. Most of the time, when a guy writes a song in the blues idiom, it's about when he's having a hard time. Might be having a hard time with your wife. Might be having a hard time with your mother-in-law. Might be having a hard time with the bank. Might be having a hard time with a preacher. But the song I wrote right now, I ain't having a hard time. I'm having a good time. You know why?
Why?
You know why?
Why?
You know why?
Why?
You know why?
Why?
I'll tell you why. I got money. I got a whole lot of money, baby. Yes, I got money, baby. I'm coming up in your town. So all you women get happy because there's big money males in town. I know you heard about Bill Gates and big money grip, but I'm coming to get you a woman in my own private ship. I got money, baby. I'm coming up in your town. Yes, get your business today, woman. The big money man's in town. Now I'm a little overweight. I can't go ahead and save my soul. All the women love me when they see that bankroll. I got money. I'm coming up in your town. So all you women get happy because the big money man's in town.
this is Mr. Jack, and you're listening to Cruisin' the Minnesota Blues with Mr. Jack. Stay tuned, we'll be right back with more from the Minnesota bluesman Pat Hayes of the Lamont Cranston Band. Welcome back to Cruisin' the Minnesota Blues with me, your host and blues guide, Mr. Jack. Today we're talking with Minnesota blues musician Pat Hayes, the frontman and a founder of the Lamont Cranston Band out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Here is more from our conversation. So here's another thing, you know, the Lamont Cranston Band is you've shared the stage with just about every blues name I can name, and you personally did a stint with Bonnie Raitt on her Nick of Time tour. How in the world did that come to be?
Well, well, her brother lived here. Her brother wound up staying in Minnesota with Dave Ray at Dave Ray's studio.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Her brother was driving through town. Some story about her brother got broke down. He was driving coast to coast and wound up staying here with Dave Ray at this studio. Dave Ray had up in sort of by Cushing or somewhere.
Okay.
He was out in the boonies. We went up there to record at Dave Ray's studio, and that's where we met Steve Raitt.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then we asked him to be our roadie. We asked him to be our bus driver and roadie, and he signed on with us. And we started recording, so he started sending recordings to his sister.
Huh.
You know, Bonnie started hearing me. She loved us guys, so she said, well, let's get these guys to open the show for me.
Wow.
We went out on both coasts with Bonnie in the 70s and had her open in June. Well, we opened the show for her all over the place out there. We went on a big tour with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came, you know, and over the years, we always stayed really close. And when she won all the Grammys and she said, well, I think I'll get Pat to blow harp in my band, you know, because she had won all those Grammys in 1990.
Yeah. Wow.
And her money went way up and she said, well, I'll hire Pat to go on the road with me. So,
wow.
I went on the road with her that summer of 1990.
What an opportunity. That is so cool. And
oh, yeah, that was really cool.
And yet, you know, it's interesting because you've met so many people out there, and I've heard you're presently in the process of writing a book on the artists you've met. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I'm writing a chapter on each one, you know. Some chapters are bigger than others, and some chapters are pretty small, but writing about all the experiences I had meeting all these blues guys.
Yeah.
And but it's not that big. I mean, you could probably, right now you could read the whole thing in about 3 hours. So I'm thinking of incorporating that into a whole book about my whole experience.
Oh, yeah.
In the music business, you know, my whole life and stuff. Because it's not quite long enough. You could read it pretty fast.
Okay.
But there's probably 30 chapters. But I found out that, you know, a chapter doesn't have to be very long. It can be only 2 pages. I read a book by Neil Young where some chapters were only like two pages.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great, I would say that's a great part of your whole story. I mean, you have a whole section in there on, you know, people I've met.
Oh, yeah.
That's excellent.
I got some great stories. I got some great stories about these guys.
Yeah. You want to share one? You got one you want to share with us?
Well, Muddy Waters, we played with Muddy Waters 2 times.
Wow.
Or 3 times. So we played with him 2 times. First time was at the Silver Dollar down on Lake Street. And the second time was at the River Serpent in St. Paul. Yeah, the River Serpent in St. Paul, they would let us hang out after hours all night long. We could sit there drinking at the bar till 4 a.m. if we wanted to.
Wow.
And Muddy was down in the dressing room after the show, and he finally came up about 2 a.m. and he sat down at the bar next to us.
Wow.
And we're like, wow, it's Muddy Waters. And then when he was leaving, I was standing on a veranda. They had this veranda. This club was right on a island in the Mississippi, downtown St. Paul.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
and it was a full moon out, and the moon was like reflecting on the waters, and I was standing up on that veranda, and Muddy walked out with Pine Top Perkins and his drummer. And he looked up at the moon, and he went, oh.
Oh, wow.
And he let out this howl, you know. He would have never done that if he knew somebody was watching, because he was more of a very dignified guy. You know, he carried himself like a king.
Mm.
And he was the king of the blues, you know. And yeah. He wouldn't have done that if he knew I was watching, but I was up there watching. And
what a great story. This paints a picture. That's just super. That's a great story. Wow.
When I met up with Pat Hayes at a performance he was headlining in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, he said, "Hey, I got something for you." And he took me to the back of his small four-door sedan, where he opened the trunk and dug through some equipment he had thrown in there, pulled out a CD of his entitled Lamont Cranston in the 80s. So here are some cuts off some vintage Lamont Cranston on Cruising the Minnesota Blues with me, Mr. Jack.
I popped the hood this morning.
Speaking of stories, the late Lazy Bill Lucas, you knew him. He was well-known bluesman in the Twin Cities for years, and he played with Big Joe Williams, and even like we were talking about Little Walter and Snooky Pryor, he played with them. How did you meet him?
Well, he was down in the West Bank. You know, I went down and lived on the West Bank in the 60s, like 1967. I was trying to be a hippie. I ran away to be a hippie in summer love. Yeah. And he was in the coffee houses down there, you know. And so I went, oh, wow, here's a real blues man, a real blues man.
Yeah.
And so he was really nice, and you could go over to his house anytime you wanted to. He's happy to have you.
Oh, that's great.
So we went over to his house to jam with him and stuff. And then he would start teaching us about the blues.
Wow.
That's basically met him in the coffee house.
Okay.
And then we started going to his house and hanging out.
That's great. Now I heard you talk about, I'm not sure if I have this right, but one time Buddy Guy and Junior Wells were at his house, and he wanted to go see Pat Hare. Or not, he didn't, Junior or Buddy, or
is
that
it
correct?
Was Junior and Buddy wanted to visit Pat Hare, who was in the Stillwater prison.
Yeah.
He's a great guitar player, played with Muddy Waters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we drove them up there, and we waited outside while they visited for an hour or two.
Okay.
And drove them back to Minneapolis. And, you know, Buddy Guy was really nice to us, but Junior Wells didn't say one word to us. He just stared out the window. It's a cold January day, and he was just cold. But Buddy was really nice to us.
Okay, well, that's great. I'm fascinated with all your stories, but you've been doing this for so long, you're bound to have stories. You know.
Thank you. time that you walk out the door, you take any chance. Every time that you try for more, you take any chance, yeah. Every time that you walk down the street, you take any chance. Every single person that you meet is taking a chance. You can't sit there.
Close the show today off of a cut of the Lamont Cranston with Bruce McCabe album in a style of blues you may not hear often at clubs from Pat Hayes, but he's very good at this style as well. The cut is entitled Lion and the Lamb. And our search for blues in the state of 10,000 Lakes, Minnesota? I'm looking forward to our next cruise together. I'm Mr. Jack, and until next time, I'll catch you later.
Gonna be right, ain't gonna be wrong. When the weak meet the strong, yes I know there'll be no trouble in this here land. There'll be no more trouble when the line lays down with the land. If there's somebody who treats you wrong, they'll change the ways, charge you more. Yes, I know there'll be no trouble in this city land. There'll be no more trouble when the line
time ago. Some people say it's gonna be so. Yeah, I know. Won't be no trouble in this here land. There'll be no more trouble when the line lays down with the land. Well,